Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Border agents in Arizona have been finding 440 pounds of what they suspect is a chemical substance often used to manufacture the dangerous drug fentanyl. Agents say it's a chilling sign that producers may be moving the deadly synthetic opioid on American soil. YRMC has been sharing that over the last year that they have treated more than 1,000 traumas for possible life-threatening injuries. More than 70% of the injuries are due to motor vehicle accidents, and 26 of these are due to off-road accidents. Although Arizona state income tax has been dropped to one of the lowest in the nation, a lawmaker disagrees with the concept of having income tax at all. Representative Austin Smith filed a House bill saying taxpayers have struggled to make ends meet due to the current economic environment. Netflix has been saying it's putting limitations on account sharing. Instead of being shared with multiple users, only one account per household. Sharing outside the home can still be done, but it will require an extra unknown fee to be paid. For the latest local and state stories, go to YumaDailyNews.com. I'm Kendra White.
Bill Alexander Ford wants to be your best choice for 2023. During our carryover sales event, you can take advantage of our remaining 2022 inventory of F-Series trucks and world-class SUVs like Expedition, Explorer, Edge, Escape, and EcoSport with offers as low as 0.9% for up to 66 months on FlexBuy. Only off-road in an exciting Bronco or Bronco Sport, Mustang GT, and convertible could really make your new year exciting. Our remaining 2022 inventory has reduced in price to move quickly. Visit online at BillAlexanderFord.com today. Difference you can count on.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Attention homeowners, did you buy or repair your home with a USDA direct loan? Did COVID-19 affect your ability to pay your mortgage? Then you may be able to lower your monthly payment thanks to the American Rescue Plan Act. To find out if you qualify for refinancing, contact your local USDA Rural Development Office or visit rd.usda.gov/ARPA. Apply now. Take control of your home financing. Visit rd.usda.gov/ARPA.
Time is precious. Tens of thousands of people with incurable breast cancer must wait 29 months for federal financial assistance and health coverage. Many won't live that long. They need help now. In less than 30 seconds, you can improve their quality of life. Text the word WAITING to 40649 or go to coleman.org/waiting to send a message to Congress. Tell lawmakers that time is running out for people with terminal breast cancer.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Cody Beeson, pushing buttons, turning dials, and trying his best to make us sound good. And it's a hard job for him. My hat's off to him. And we've got my partner, Sean Garner, as well in the studio. And I freshly made it back. I hope you're doing well. I hope your weekend was good. And hopefully you had a great... I don't know what to say here. Do we still say Martin Luther King Day last week?
Yeah.
Or weekend? Or Civil Rights Day? I don't know what quite to say, but without offending somebody that's listening, whatever does not offend you, that's what I meant to say.
That's okay? The day.
That what's that?
That's the day. Have a happy...
last Monday.
Yeah.
And 4-day weekend.
Non-offensive holiday.
There you go. But I'm sure you're happy to understand or learn that me and my family made it successfully back from Mexico from our little 7-day vacation. We went down to the Cancun area, and it was an adventure. I've got six little kids, and so we were always vigilant about where we were, where our circumstances were, and things like that. And we had a lot of fun, and we made it back. That was the goal. Everybody makes it back, and no man left behind. And that happened. So that's good. I don't know if we'll ever do it again. I would like to think we would. We had a great experience. I mean, we didn't. We were, to my knowledge, we were never in a dangerous spot. It just happened to be the time that we were down there that there were some real issues happening over in, I think it was Mazatlan, where El Chapo's son was held up on like an airport tarmac or something, and it was just nasty. I guess people were being killed, and so there was a big gunfight. But that was way far away from where myself and my family was. But that doesn't mean that there's not problems that spill over, you know. But it, generally, I think the Yucatan Peninsula is pretty safe when it comes to that stuff. They understand tourism is a big generator of income there, and so they try and keep it safe. It's not to mean that years ago, I think there was an issue at the Cancun airport, but we didn't experience any of that other than, you know, a little bit of throwing up here and there. That's all we had to really deal with.
You know, I wanted to ask you, you know, as a father, obviously you're going to see things different than you did when you were a teenager going down to Mexico or whatever. So as a father, with all your children, your family there, at any point did you feel unsafe or anything, you know, out of the normal, that a reason not to do this again, or everything was perfect?
Everything was, I don't want to use the word perfect. I don't like to use that loosely,
right.
but I did not see anything out of order, but we were always constantly vigilant. And we took my father down there with us because, again, I have six kids. And the idea was that, okay, we would separate two kids per person. One adult, myself would have, I would have the care of my little group of two kids. And that way we could divide up the kid care in such a way that when we're out walking around, I always know where my two are. And we're always doing a constant head count and things. And we're trying not to stick out as much as we can, even though we did, you
know. Don't flash cash or anything. Or,
right.
Yeah.
But I speak Spanish, so it was a benefit down there. Once they found out that I start rattling off Spanish, and then it's like I'm one of the people there. So I think we weren't as much as a target in that regard. And I was also able to get things done that we needed to get done, tours and things like that, and get tickets that otherwise I probably would not have been able to acquire had I not had a command of the language. So it was a great experience for our family. And my kids absolutely loved it. We went to some Mayan ruins and learned about some of that history and connection there, and it was really cool. I mean, we just had a lot of fun, and they would want to go back in a heartbeat. So would I. I mean, we really just had a great, great time. We got the flights pretty cheap. Cody, you and I talked about this.
Yeah.
Like, what are our options to get down there? And that's really what it was about. Like, I didn't want to spend a fortune on this. This was going to be my kids' Christmas present. Instead of doing gifts, we were going to do an experience. But I didn't want to break the bank. And so if we were going to fly out of the United States, it tended to be 3-4 times more expensive than flying out of, for example, Mexicali or Tijuana. We ended up flying out of Tijuana, and we used, those that are listening, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but recently, within the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, they built this sky bridge entrance to the Tijuana airport. So you park in San Diego, long-term parking, and they've got all these facilities there, and you walk up, or you walk into this facility, and then you go through Mexican immigration as you're going through this tunnel, and then you walk into the Mexico side. Once you're in the Mexico side, you go through their final immigration thing, and you get your visas or whatever you got, whatever you need to do your stint there. And then you walk right into your terminal, and then you get on your plane and fly. So because we did it that way, it was considered a domestic flight.
Oh, no kidding. All right.
From Mexico.
Yes.
Because
yeah,
you're
not
going
from America.
Yeah. Tijuana to Cancun, which is a huge benefit when landing in Cancun. So had we gone from Phoenix or from San Diego themselves, once you land in Cancun, that's an international flight. That's considered an international flight there in Mexico. And so we would have had to go to another customs and immigration line, which tends to be really backed up, and you know, it's just a horrible experience. I've talked to other friends that did that, and they said they've been in that line for like 4 hours sometimes, and it's hot and it's humid, and it's just not a fun experience, especially when you have little kids all around you and constantly worrying about where they are. And so not only were the flights cheaper from Tijuana, but it was really easy because we went through that tunnel, and I didn't go through a lot of process ahead of time. I'd read conflicting things online as to, do I do my visa stuff ahead of time, the Mexican visa stuff ahead of time, or do I just do it there on the spot? I knew they were going to have forms and stuff to fill out, and I would read things like, well, I filled my stuff out online, and then I printed it, and I was all ready to go, and I went to the immigration desk, and they're like, this isn't the form you need, or you didn't fill it out right, you got to redo it. And so I was like, you know what, I'm not even going to play around with that. I want to deal with that. So we showed up, we had all of our stuff in order, our American stuff, we had passports, we had everything we needed on the to get back in, you know, that's right. What I was really worried about. And then they asked, well, do you have the visa? And I said, I tried to get it, I couldn't print it off. And they said, okay, just walk over here. I handed them all these passports. There were 9 passports in total. They scan them, and then they printed out the Mexican visas for us. And then once we went to the actual immigration desk in the, it's called the CBX, the Cross Border Express. Once we went to the immigration desk on the Mexican side in the CBX, the guy looks at all of these, he looks at the passport, he looks at the visas that they just printed out, and then he stamped them and then handed them back to me. So I didn't have to fill anything out by hand at all. I just handed him my passport and these papers that they gave to me. And then when we came home, we went from Cancun back to Tijuana, to the CBX, to the cross-border exchange terminal. And so I didn't have to go through another round of immigration there either, because that's a domestic flight from Cancun to Tijuana. So I didn't have to go through another customs round going back, or at least Mexican customs. Obviously, yeah. Once you start walking into the United States, you go through that bridge. And that was really easy. I mean, we went through the U.S. immigration. That was really easy to do, you know, and we just handed them the passports, and they looked at the kids. We smiled, we laughed, and told some jokes, and then we walk in. We put our bags on the conveyor belt, the carry-ons that we had. They scan them for drugs, I imagine, and things like that, and we go on our merry way, feeling so good that we're back on American soil. And I said that to my kids. I'm like, every time I get back to the United States, I just feel so much better. Like, I feel, okay, I'm home, you know, regardless of whether I'm in a airport terminal or not. I just feel like, okay, I'm safe again. Like, I'm back home.
You have rights and protection.
Yeah. But it was a great trip. And anybody that's thinking about doing something like this, I mean, it is easy. Do your research online. And I would highly recommend, if you're going to go down to Mexico, down to Cancun, you're going to anywhere in Mazatlan, if you're going down to Cabo, the best way, in my opinion, is to use that San Diego Cross-Border Express terminal, because you're going to get the flights cheaper through Mexican Airlines, and it's really an easy process, and you don't have to worry about it. We've got to go to a break. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM, KBLU. We'll be right back.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
Temperatures have been rather chilly around here the last several days, and today continues that trend of sunshine but cool temperatures. After today, we get a chance to warm up a little bit, make it feel like it's January again. But today, bundle up. A sunny day, but definitely a windy day. Gusts up to 35 miles an hour at times today. 61, that's our high today. Breezy tomorrow, 66. 68, the high Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
I served 4.5 years. I had just come home from serving over in Germany. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. It was a pretty low point. PVA was there the first day. I've fallen a few times, and PVA is like, get up. We just keep getting up.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson, and I'm sitting next to my partner, Sean Garner, and we've got the wonderful Mr. Beeson in the studio today as well, pushing buttons and turning dials and things like that. Prior to the break, we were talking about my recent trip to Mexico with my family of six kids and my wife, and then we brought along my dad and for extra help, you know, to watch over the kids, and it went really well. I talked about how we used the Tijuana airport. We flew out of there, but we used this new sky bridge that goes from the San Diego United States side to Tijuana terminal. And you just go through this and do immigration as you go through the tunnel. And it made it really seamless and easy for us. And when we went, when we drove over there, obviously, as we started to descend down the mountain range from Alpine area and down past, the casino, Golden Acorn, we encountered a lot of rain. You know, it was raining and drizzling the whole time. It was cold. And then we got on the plane and we flew out of Tijuana. It was raining the whole time. And then we get to Cancun and it wasn't raining. I mean, it was beautiful. It was like 74, 76 every day. We're wearing shorts and we're wearing t-shirts. And then when we come back 7 days later, we land in Tijuana in San Diego area, it's still raining. You know, it's still gloomy. It's all overcast. And then a few days passed, and then I had to go back to San Diego for a church thing with my wife, and on that following Saturday, and it was again raining and overcast and cold. I had to have jeans and a t-shirt and a light jacket, you know. And so I bring this up because not shortly after that, I get back to town from San Diego on that Saturday, and my dad makes a comment. He says, have you heard? And I said, heard what? And he said, the good news, we're out of a drought because, you know, all the snow up in Idaho and all the snow in Utah and all this rain down here in California. So we're out of the drought. And my first thought was, why does the government constantly think that it can control the weather or control our circumstances of water? Because we've been hearing for a long time now, oh, it's because of this drought. We've got to raid the water supply, or we've got to take the Colorado River and divert it to these other areas that really crucially need this water, and it's to our detriment. And I'm thinking, does the government really think that they can control things like God, you know, like the weather and this water source? They always insert themselves thinking, and prematurely, I would say at that, if they would have done nothing or had no policies in place, we would be fine. We would be fine. The last time we experienced a true drought or a flood was probably 3 decades ago. And Sean, you've been really big into the water issue lately, and you know more of it than I do. But my initial impression was, I get frustrated when the government thinks that it can insert itself and fix our problems that aren't even problems. I mean, they're foreseeable problems, but you don't need to do anything about it. Just let it play out.
So, in a large sense, yes, I agree. I think that the government makes things much more difficult than it needs to be otherwise. If they allowed normal people to operate just on a common sense level, we'd be so much better off than all these experts in these bureaucratic positions. But let me take a couple steps back. So Wade Noble had been on the show a couple months ago, and he's one of the foremost lawyers in water law. He's been practicing water law in Yuma for over 40 years. And so I talked to him when I wanted to know what's going on with the water issues. And I ran into him at a wedding, and I asked him, I said, hey, with all this rain and everything that's going on, a lot of the snowpack is increasing in the mountains, what's going on with the water situation? And I know there's a lot of negotiations that are going on, especially with the water master who controls the outlet of Hoover Dam and Glen Canyon Dam and the downflow to the streams to us. And I said, are we out of this grim situation, the drought scare? And he said, no, we're not. And I said, really, why not? And here was his initial take. And you touched on it a little bit, but I want to expand on it. That it's God that controls the water. We can't go in as a government and fix this. We can't go in and just sign off a treaty between states or even countries and make the problem go away. We need to correct our actions as a people. We need to return back to God. We need to, you know, like Alexander Tocqueville noted, America's great because it's good, but when it ceases to be good, it'll cease to be great. And it is in the process of ceasing to be good, and therefore it's declining in its greatness. And we need to return to core values, family values, just social decency. And I think then we can look at problems on a larger scale as a people, not as a government, but as a people working together, and we can adapt for climate issues. I mean, you go from day to night, and you're going to be uncomfortable if you don't rely on human ingenuity to adapt, right? You go outside during the daytime, and it's wonderful. It's glorious. It feels very good, right? Especially this time of year. But you go in, but you stay outside at night, and you're going to get cold. You want to go inside and, you know, use your either heater. I don't know if you really use your heater at this time of year, but some sort of climate control, whether it's just the roof over your head and your door is shut, then that's fine. But that is human ingenuity to somewhat control the climate. And the same thing goes with the flooding and everything that's going on right now. We're seeing that there's huge flooding issues in LA and in all across Central California because there's these atmospheric rivers that have been flowing through one system after another. And they call it an atmospheric river because it's literally like a river in the sky. There's so much water flowing through the clouds in the sky that it's drenching and pouring down in a couple of weeks what would be received in that area over the course of 6 months. And what it's doing is it's flooding out some areas, and some people are dying. And most of the news that you watch about it, that's what you'll hear. You'll hear about all of the catastrophic issues that are occurring, all the property damage that's resulting, and is resulting because of climate change that has been caused by, quote-unquote, us, human activity. I have a different opinion on that, but regardless, I think that either way, human ingenuity could allow for us to correct that and or at least adapt to it. And what the bigger issue is there's 40 million people that rely on the water supply in the Colorado River. And we were talking just this summer how the Colorado River was drying up. And there was tons and tons of documentaries about how the West was dying off. And you could see documentaries all across the world. BBC, there were documentaries. And Wyon News in India, there were documentaries about how California was essentially going to be just a desolate desert in just a few years because the Colorado River was drying up. And now the reservoirs are filling up quite a bit. The snowpack is 200% of its annual average right now. And, I mean, let's not blow that out of proportion. That's two times its annual average. I was talking to my son. He's like, 200%? How could that possibly be? I'm like, oh, 200% is two times the amount of snow. That's normal. He's like, okay. But so let's talk about this a little bit. Let's just go down some of the figures here. Lake Shasta was at about 30% during the summer and declining, and boats were stranded. Now it's currently at 84%. That's the largest reservoir in California. We got Lake Orville that is 105%. They're starting to currently release water out of the dam in Lake Orville downstream to prevent the flooding that would occur during a normal spring because of the snow melt that comes out of the mountains. We got New Bullard's Bar is 125% of its average. Folsom, 126% of its average. Comanche, 125% of its average. We've got Diamond Valley is 84% of its average. And let's take a look over Pine Flat, 126% of its average. I could keep going on and on. But these reservoirs have filled back up. Now, what are reservoirs but man-made adaptations to differing situations in the climate? We know that the river's not going to flow steady all year round or from year to year. We know that it's going to be wetter during certain parts of the year and certainly wetter from one year to the next. In fact, we don't have to look very far back to 2017 where it rained and snowed so much that the Oroville Dam, even the spillways over the top, were overwhelmed and it basically washed out all the spillways because there was so much water. But we just focused on the drought just 6 months ago. We didn't focus on all of those wet years. Reservoirs are human adaptation to climate change or variations of climate from year to year. And if we concentrate on Lake Powell filling back up because of that snowpack, because of the rain, then what we do is we kneel down and we thank God for granting us a little bit more time in this probation that we have here to demonstrate whether or not we're going to be good, decent people, or whether or not we're just going to turn away from him and argue against one another and commit all types of bad acts and sin in general. That's what we need to be doing. I think we need to be thanking God that we have some type of ingenuity that we can prepare for the climate change, that we can adapt to the climate change, and thank him for allowing us a little bit more grace and time to prosper in the wonderful land that we have, as opposed to, okay, now we've avoided one catastrophe for 1 year, let's rely on the government then to set up another program that will dictate how we manage our resources for the next year, just like you were saying. We're going to take a break. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Get ready for a party at Quachan Casino Resort with country music superstar Dustin Lynch, presented by KTTI. I was just thinking about you. Celebrate Quachan's 14th anniversary during this special outdoor anniversary show February 16th. Tickets are on sale now at the casino box office or online at playqcr.com. So much entertainment, so close. Quachan Casino Resort. Must be 21 and older.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. If there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans,
Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Paying it forward. Back in 1 minute with your food chain question of the day.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer. And again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. That's 800-648-9175.
Though paying it forward for the person behind you in the Starbucks line can really brighten their day, their gain can result in the barista's pain. So claim many of the baristas who post on Reddit, like McPatches3D, who writes, 99% of baristas thank you for breaking the pay-it-forward chain. We rarely get any tips during the chains, and it can get confusing when we're slammed. Not to mention some customers get grumpy because they needed the purchase for some Starbucks customer promo. Question: would you or would you not be willing to break a pay-it-forward chain?
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take. And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan. Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is 560 AM, KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law. Sean Garner here. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. And although we focus on estate planning and helping families avoid having their hard-worked legacy go through the court process and stripped by government bureaucrats by doing proper estate planning, we also focus a lot on the community at large and our state and our country and our world and what we're doing here on earth in order to make things around us better. And we look at the news, and one issue that I constantly struggle with is trying to stay positive, trying to avoid an ulcer, and also stay up on the news, because there's a lot of bad news out there. And the reality is there's also a lot of good news out there, but it doesn't sell. It's not sensational. It doesn't scare people. And fear sells. And so does any type of scandal. And so when things are going well, we don't cover that. And also, when we feel like things are going wrong in our life, we're quick to turn and either deny that God exists, because if he existed, our life would be perfect. Bad things wouldn't happen to good people. And also, or curse him for allowing bad things to happen to us. But when good things happen, how quick are we to turn to him and thank him for all that he has given us, all of our blessings? Well, right now, we're in one of those periods where we're receiving a massive blessing, and that is the rain is falling and filling up the reservoirs again. I talked a lot about in the last segment how the reservoirs in California, most of them are actually above what the historical average is, where all of them were in severe drought stages previously. Lake Shasta is still right at, it's not at its historical level yet, but it's like 84% and climbing. And the snowpack in the Sierras are 200% of their average. And so we're predicting that the Lake Shasta and that reservoir will fill up by the springtime, as long as we don't release it out as we have in previous years into the ocean. So what about Arizona here? We focus on Lake Mead and Lake Powell. Those are the largest reservoirs in the nation, and those are the reservoirs that supply us with water. They haven't filled up as much, and the reason why is because they don't get as much direct rain as the other reservoirs in California. They don't get as much runoff. They're filled by tributary streams, primarily the Colorado River, which is fueled by snow in the mountains. And so we've got to wait a bit. The snowpack in the mountains in the Colorado mountains is 200%, again, of what it normally is. And so it's looking really, really good. So the flow that we should get this year is going to be much higher than years past. So what we should be able to do is stock some water away. Does that mean we waste water and irrigate more than we need to, or even irrigate fields that have been fouled and aren't needing to grow crops? No, absolutely not. I still think that we need to be cautious. We need to look at long-term flows and be considerate about how much water we use. But things are very much improving, and we're not hearing that in the news, but that is the reality. And as long as we just use common sense in managing our resources and the ingenuity that's been put in place, the reservoirs that have been built, then we're in a great situation. We need to acknowledge that and thank God for it, and continue to realize where our blessings come from so we can act accordingly. I'll follow up with that on one thing that I see as positive news, but it's getting so much coverage because the media sees it as potentially negative and contentious, and that is there's a lot of gridlock in Congress and in the government right now. And that's because we got a Republican-controlled Congress, and we even have a fractured Republican Party in Congress, and we've got a Democrat-controlled Senate and of course, President. And then there's these issues with these confidential papers and top-secret papers that have been found in Biden's garage and other adjacent rooms that we don't know what those adjacent rooms are, whether there's closet or his bathroom or his bedroom or whatever. It was painful to watch it, but I watched the White House press on press release on these papers, and Jean-Pierre was explaining how transparent the White House has been, and I listened to it for a half an hour. And if anybody wants to prematurely go through purgatory, go ahead and back and listen to that. It is painful because all you hear is how well the White House is dealing with this issue of these papers being found. Now, I don't want to get so sidetracked here that, okay, yes, there are scandals out there that President Biden is involved in as well. And what that's doing is that's choking the government mechanism from going forward. And I see all of that gridlock as good news. The media is putting that off as, well, the government's not able to do their job. They're not able to propose new bills and pass new laws. And I'm saying, great, stop it.
You mean add more restriction and taxes to people? Yeah,
that's exactly what I want. If I knew that we could vote a certain way to create a blockade in the government each year, rather than have even a single party, even the party that I affiliate with, which is largely Republican, and I would do it every time, because bigger government never leads to solutions. In fact, case in point, I drive by to my office every morning, the Arizona Veterans home that is built right off of 6E, 6E and 32nd Street. It's a brand new home. If you don't know about it, it was announced in 2018. It was to open in 2020. They were a bit behind schedule, and for the government, that means 2.5 years. And so it's open now. And I've met the administrators over there. They're great people. They're admitting new residents, and that's very good news. I'm glad that it's open. Here's the thing that confuses me a bit. Number one, they have a lot of shade that is built up in the parking area. And this administration has been preaching that solar is our salvation out of this energy crisis that we're facing. But there's no solar on any of the shades in the parking lot. So I thought that was a bit weird. And the roof is completely flat, which is typical for Arizona, but there's no solar on the roof. So they built this new federal building while they're imposing energy restrictions or at least hiking the price on energy for us when it comes to fuel, but they're not even implementing themselves the policies that they're preaching. And number two, I couldn't count the amount of lightning rods on that building. There's literally over 100. It's unbelievable. And so I'm looking at this building, I'm thinking, what is going on? Now, in D.C., I suspect there's a lot of thunderstorms. I've never lived in D.C. or even visited D.C. I need to. But I've been to the East, and I know there's a lot of lightning and thunderstorms. And so for certain areas, you build buildings different ways, right? You built slanted roofs with metal on the top for high altitude areas with a lot of snow. And in Arizona, where we don't get a lot of rain and snow, we build flat roofs. But we don't typically put a ton of lightning rods on. If you do, you might, if you're going to be very prudent, put on one or two. But there's over 100. And you know that each one of those are fastened to a very thick copper cord that goes 4 or 5 feet into the ground. I mean, that's costing a lot of money. That could probably contribute to how long overdue the building was. And I point that out to my son. I says, see all those lightning rods? That is your federal bureaucracy at its best. And so get the government gridlocked, great news. So if you want good news for the day, there's government gridlock, there's a lot of end fighting, people aren't getting along and bills aren't being passed, and that means we as the people can go about our business without some more interference. And that's the good news for the day. Despite the gridlock that's occurring in Congress, we do have some very interesting bills that are proposed, something that I would strongly support. One is either a flat tax or getting rid of the income tax. Can you imagine that? Not having an income tax? And you might stop and pause for a moment and say, well, we do need some type of revenue to run the government. Okay, well, let's just assume that's true. And say that we can do that with other means of taxes. There are 9 states out there that run perfectly fine without any income tax. In fact, we do a lot of estate planning, and we see a lot of winter visitors come here, and we look at where they've lived previously and where their current residence, their permanent residence, is located. And a lot of times we see that it's in these places that don't have income tax. And so these states, they're doing something right. They're attracting people that don't want to be subject to this taxation. And what I see is very unfair. It's the more you produce, the more you contribute to society, the higher rate of tax you're going to pay. And that's called the tax bracket. If you do a lot and you produce a lot, you're going to be in a higher tax bracket. And so these states have found ways to run their governments, and Tennessee is one of them, runs a surplus nearly every year, has a constitutional requirement to balance the budget every year. Every state that I know of has that constitutional requirement on a state basis to balance its budget every year. Arizona certainly does, but our federal government doesn't, and that's very backwards. And so there are proposals to implement that same type of system on a federal level, that if these states can do it, let's follow that model. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Do I think that it'll actually go anywhere with a Democrat-controlled Senate and Democrat-controlled president? No. I don't even know if it's really a serious proposal, if there were Republicans in the Senate and in the presidency, if that would be even a proposal, because so many people have relied on the entitlements that come from this massive influx of taxes and flow of taxes and the continuing borrowing without even any accountability there. So I don't think that it's a reality. It's even a serious proposal, but it's a proposal. It's something. So if we're talking about positive news, that's something out there.
Well, I mean, and that's the kind of stuff that you tell your representative, this is what we're interested in. This is what we want you to sign on to.
Right.
I mean, because they all come around every couple of years. They ask for your signature. They ask for your donations for their campaigns. But they ask to talk to you. Tell them what you want to hear. Tell them this is the kind of stuff.
Yeah. And a few months ago, we were on the radio and we were talking about, if we were king for a day, what would we change in the laws of this country, and particularly federal laws and how we interpret the Constitution. And one of those was flat tax, right? Don't punish anybody for being more productive. Tax everybody the same. And then if there are needs, which there certainly are, there are people that have disabilities and people that can't work and people that are elderly or people that are that lose their parents and are children and need support. So I agree that the state can go and provide some type of support. but the entitlement system that we have is totally backwards. Anyways, a flat tax that would provide for some sort of safety net, but would get people off the couch and incentivized to work. So that was one thing. This new tax proposal is somewhat closer to that. It's, okay, we're going to do away with the income tax, get a balanced budget every year for the federal government. And the other issue that was on that top 10 list was you can't pass a law that has more than one subject in the particular bill. So single subject bills. And that's actually now a proposal in Congress. And it's in the House, and it's going to be submitted to the Senate. And the Senate, we believe, will probably kill it. So it'll never make it to the president's desk. But wouldn't that be great? In fact, I can't imagine running a business or even my home any other way. If we go to the family table and we say, okay, listen, we're going to agree on a set of rules, and we're only going to talk a little bit about one rule, but there's going to be 10 rules in here in this paper that I'm going to make you guys all commit to. And we're going to have a very limited discussion, let's say 10 minutes, and then I want you guys all to a vote on it, and we're going to go forward. My kids would rebel to that, and my kids are young, and I have quite a bit of authority in my household, but every single one of them would see right through that. They're going to say, there's no way we're going to agree to something that you're not even explaining to us, so we can't look and read it ourselves. And then you advance it a little bit. Adam, you and I set up businesses. We put together LLCs where we do operating agreements that determine how income is going to be used when it's generated by a business, and how bills are going to be paid, and how taxes are going to be paid out, and how the management's going to be run. And then also the succession plan of that business. And those operating agreements are pretty comprehensive. Some, you know, you can get online, they're 5 pages. Ours are typically 25 to 30 pages. They're pretty comprehensive operating agreements. And I'll tell you what, when there's a business in town that hires me to do that, I put a lot of time and effort into doing that, and those are the things that keep me awake at night. Okay, am I making sure that I'm thinking of everything about this business? And we spend days, weeks on reviewing that operating agreement, because that's how that business is going to run. That's 30 pages, and that's a small business here in Yuma. 4,000 pages was the last bill that got passed in Congress, and they had 24 hours to read it and vote on it. That is absolutely unimaginable that any country, let alone community, small business, or family could operate on that type of mentality. So this single subject bill requirement is that you only get one subject in the bill, and we're going to discuss that one subject, and we're going to vote on that one issue. We're not going to have these huge omnibus bills anymore where you pack everything in you want, all the pork that you want for your special interests, and give us 24 hours. And the single subject bill is also going to require at least 72 hours to read. I mean, 4,000 pages, even if you had 72 hours, even if you had 72 days, you're not going to be able to comprehend that much material. So hopefully that would gain some traction. I don't see how anybody with common sense could dispute that that's a good idea. You have one subject per bill, and the actual lawmakers that are going to vote on it have to have at least 3 days to read it. More.
Going back to your tax conversation earlier, I mean, some people would, I remember years ago, Mitt Romney like scoffed at the idea of a flat tax. Yeah. It was when he was running for office. I think it was back in 2012. And so that got brought up in one of the rallies or something. And he was like, that's a ridiculous idea. And that was the first time I'd really actually heard it proposed. I'm thinking, why is that a ridiculous idea? In fact, your church, Mitt Romney, that you go to, has a, if you want to consider it a flat tax, he has to pay 10% of his money, his income, to his church through tithing means, and that seems to be working for his church. You know, why wouldn't it work for us as the American people? Everybody pays their fair share of a percent, you know, a percentage. If I have zero or I have very little that I'm making in a given year, then my percentage is going to be a lot lower, but it's still the same for all of us. And that gives some money into the coffers. But another thing that I had a thought of when you were talking, Sean, is I think there's a misunderstanding I think people think of the government as a whole. When you use the word government, I'm talking really about the federal government or the state government as like this boogeyman out there. And you don't want to get in trouble with them. And that's right. You don't. But at the same time, I think we have this idea that they need this money from our taxes to continue to operate. Well, that would be true if we were continuing to support these programs that it implements through these 4,000-page bills. That would be true if we needed to pay for their salaries and things like that. My argument is that we don't. If we didn't have all these programs, if we didn't have to pay all this money to those that were serving in Congress or serving in a government capacity in these agencies like the FBI and the CIA and the I don't want to say Border Patrol because a lot of us know Border Patrol people here in town. But
and we know that they are trying to do a good job in securing our border, but they're being hamstrung by the current policies.
And maybe they get lumped into what I would argue for our taxes to be used for would be the defense of our nation. So
you're not saying defund the police. You're not saying defund anything that's actually working to support and to make sure that our safety is secured and that our rights aren't infringed upon. And that's the proper role of the government, to secure our safety and to make sure that our rights are upheld.
Absolutely. So I'm not saying, you know, defund the police. What I'm saying is there are government agencies out there that don't need to exist, that they are a waste of our money and a waste of our time, and we are subject to their authority. We've got the ATF out there that just recently released some new rules. Well, they changed definitions such that now most Americans are felons because of guns that they probably already have. And most likely this is going to be challenged constitutionally by, you know, all sorts of different groups out there. And hopefully it does, because the ATF is an example of an agency that just is wielding authority and making rules without going through the proper means of a House and Senate and a president signing an actual bill. They're just saying, no, if you have a gun that's shorter than this length, then it's you're a felon now. Now you're going to be subject to 11 years in prison and fines and things like that. And we want you to come. There's solutions here where you can, okay, just give us your gun or turn it over to us, or you're going to have to